Hi, Alfredo here. Did you know I'm writing a book? It's called Invisible Rainbows, and it is about all of the cosmic discoveries we're making with the light beyond what we can see with our own eyes. On this journey, we meet incredible LGBTQ+ astronomers from all over the world, delivering insights on their work at the cutting edge of astronomy. Help crowdfund Invisible Rainbows by pledging a copy at unbound.com. Welcome to a new episode of The Astrolic Explains.
Welcome. Today we are joined by a special guest.
Yes, sir.
It's one of those episodes.
We'd like to have those episodes. Today we are talking about diamonds.
Girl's best friend.
Girl's best friend.
Could be my best friend as well if you bought me one.
Wow,
actually,
we're already starting. Anyway, talking about diamonds, but not your shiny, glittering diamonds. We are talking about a special type of diamonds called carbonado diamonds.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about them with our special guests because they are very cool and they might be coming from space. Actually, there is some compelling evidence that they do come from space, but we will...
Is that spoilers?
Nothing. That is... It's not a spoiler. It's a
pre-space podcast.
It's a prologue.
Okay.
Anyway, let's welcome our special guest.
Welcome, special guest.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Please introduce yourselves to the audience.
So, my name's David Pegg, and I am a geologist, a doctor of planetary science, studied Mercury, but I thought I'd talk today a bit about diamonds instead.
But if you do have questions about Mercury, please do send them our way, because we can always have Dr. Pegg back with us.
Always happy to find an excuse to talk about rocks.
Exactly. So let's talk about our special rocks.
So to begin with, I vaguely remember you saying at one point something about the carbonado diamonds. Am I right in thinking that it's possibly one of the largest diamonds ever found?
Yes. So the biggest diamond ever found is called Sergio, which was over 3,000 carats. Not many people work in carats, but to give you some idea, that's about 650 grams. So pretty heavy. Now, the one that most people hear about when they think of the big diamond is the Cunningham diamond, which is in the crown jewels and other things like that. That was a bit smaller. However, Sergio, rather than being used to make crown jewels and things like that, was cut up and used for industrial diamond cutting instead.
Oh, wow. So, like tools.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can only use a diamond to cut a diamond.
Yeah.
The hardest
substance.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So they, what was the thought behind that? Because I would have thought that, okay, to begin with, when was Sergio discovered?
So it was turn of the 20th century in Brazil.
So yeah, this goes with what I was about to say, is that surely when that was discovered, there were people thinking, oh my goodness, this needs to be, well, a treasure, something akin to the crown jewels. They need to take it away to a different country and give it to a monarch. Why did that not happen? Why was it turned into tools rather than a treasured artifact?
Because unfortunately, they're not quite as glittery in the same way as other diamonds. In fact, rather than having this like nice glistening structure to them, they're opaque. They're usually either black all the way through or up to kind of like mucky red colours.
Oh, wow. And that's not something that could be like polished down to...
No. So you can cut them to make them have some small faces, but they're always kind of this impure, unusual texture to them.
Ooh.
Despite the fact that I cannot take seriously the name Sergio, it's the name of the electrician in my hometown, so it's... I can't take the... But it's fascinating. But yeah, all the pictures of the carbonado diamond, especially when they are in their non-cut form, it looked a little bit like graphite. It has that kind of gray color.
But when one of the Coronado Diamond went on auction a few years ago, the Enigma, it's all about PR. Like, the Enigma is so much more appealing to Sergio for me. It looks so cool. And the unevenness of the faces also. I think he had 55, if I remember correctly. And it was not shaped like a regular diamond. It just looked so cool. I don't know, I just feel that they're very cool. If I were a colonized monarch of a country, I would be happy to have a black diamond in my royal jewels.
So considering that they don't look as pretty or flashy as their more, I guess, more well-known counterparts, are they worth as much?
They are sometimes worth a lot more because they're so rare. So there's been like 600 tons of diamonds mined around the world over time, going into jewelry and also lots of industrial stuff. Whereas previously, there's only been about 2 tons of carbonados ever found.
Wow.
And they were very important for industry before, for their mining, because all diamonds have the same hardness, which is their ability to be scratched. It's well known that they're the hardest thing. But carbonados are actually tougher than regular diamonds.
Wow.
That means that, like, it's harder to break them.
Mm.
And the reason for that, and it links to this whole, like, why they've got this kind of weird opaque texture, is because rather than being big crystals, they're actually, we call it polycrystalline, but they're made up of lots and lots of individual smaller crystals held together with tiny, tiny microcrystals. So it's lots of big accumulation of crystals stuck together.
Mm.
And that means actually it's harder for fractures to break through them, so they're tougher than normal diamonds. And so they often use, De Beers used to use carbonados from South America, bring them to their mines in South Africa to mine diamonds with, because they were tougher.
Using diamonds to mine diamonds.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's fascinating.
Okay, I changed my mind. I don't want it royal jewels. I want a sword,
made of
carbonite.
Wow, can you imagine?
I will settle for a dagger.
Now then, what is the space connection? So you said that it was discovered in South America.
Yes.
And I assume it was mined out of the ground. How did it get there?
So there are only two places in the world where they're found. South America and Brazil, specifically, uh-huh. and part of the Central African Republic. Where they're found there, they are always found in ancient river deposits. So they've been eroded, or they've come from somewhere and been trapped in river sediments. These sediments are billions of years old, about 1 to 1.5 billion years old. And at that time, South America was connected together. So they're part of the same area that then later got split apart by plate tectonics. So there's only one source for them in the world, although we don't actually know where that source is. We just have the rivers that later on have moved them.
Yeah.
Normally diamonds come from deposits, we call them kimberlites, but basically they're volcanic eruptions coming out of the ground, bringing rocks up from deep down in the mantle.
Hmm.
No kimberlite has ever turned up a material like carbonados. And we find kimberlites dotted around the world. There's only this one location, which makes them unusual.
Mm.
When we start to look inside the diamonds, we look for things, impurities and stuff like that, to understand where they come from. And they're very different. Normally diamonds have minerals in them like olivine, which show that they've come from inside the earth. We can tell they've come from the mantle. What we end up inside carbonados is instead we have iron and nickel metal alloys, and also something called osbonite, which is a titanium nitrate, which is a very, very unusual mineral. Only very high temperature, not really found on Earth.
Wow.
It's very complementary. We have not obviously found the connection yet, but it's very compelling evidence to suggest that they are not from this world.
Are we thinking, though, that that would be from meteorites or potential collisions?
So what do you need to make diamonds?
Extreme heat.
Yes, and
pressure.
Yes. And what are diamonds made for? Made of, sorry.
What are they made of? Carbon.
Perfect. So, you need that. Extreme heat, extreme pressure, lots of carbon.
You can reduce the amount of pressure you need if you do it in a vacuum. So synthetic diamonds are often made using plasmas and vacuums.
Oh!
Which is also an additional factor that comes into things like, if you don't necessarily need all the pressure, you can use vacuum and plasmas. And this becomes very interesting because carbonados have, we call them pores, but they've basically got little cavities inside them. Not necessarily connected, but little bubbles inside them. Which again, if under a high pressure situation, you really couldn't form. Like, there should not be space to make pressures. So we don't find them on diamonds on Earth, but these are full of them. Up to about 15% of their volume is made up with cavities, small little pore space within the diamond. So it's a frothy diamond.
Frothy diamond. That sounds so wrong.
It sounds a bit weird. Have we seen this material anywhere else in the solar system?
No, we've not come across carbonados anywhere else in the solar system. We do know that around impact craters, you do get small, tiny, tiny diamonds, like less than a millimeter in size. They're generated by impacts, uh-huh, and the actual shock of hitting something,
yeah,
creates a diamond suddenly, but they're formed in very narrow distances around the impact. Too close and they get vaporized, too far away, you don't have the pressure to do it. But they don't have the same kind of chemistry, and they always include bits of the local rock,
yeah,
which, yeah, again, carbonados don't include rocks or minerals that we see around Earth.
Do you think that this implies that all of Earth's resources of carbonado came from just one specific space rock that hit Earth?
It seems very likely that, wow, there's just one location where it hit,
yeah,
and that's been...
split apart.
It's a bit apart later on, but yeah, it came from one environment. Doesn't seem like it came from Earth, so a single point location. Maybe that was an impact of a meteorite that was predominantly made of carbonado, this diamond.
Wow. That's really cool.
With 2 tons, like, you don't even need to have predominantly, you could just have a big, big asteroid that has a sprinkle of carbonado in it. It is absolutely fascinating that, you see, this is why it's so much cooler than regular diamonds, having a diamond forged in space, in some space event.
So if we're thinking that they came from a rock in outer space, but also there's a question as to the sort of pressure that was used to create them, how might they actually have formed in the first place?
There are a few ways, if I remember correctly, from the outer space approach. They might have formed through impacts in space.
Oh, you mean like actual impacts in space?
Yeah, asteroids like impacting on other asteroids. They could form some supernova.
Oh, wow.
What else was there? Dr. Pega, help me.
So, yeah, my two favorite possible space origins. One, white dwarf, because they are thought to have carbon interiors in some of them. And the other one is from a carbon-rich planetary body. Because if you get a planet big enough, you can have a mantle that, unlike Earth's, it's made out of like minerals like olivine, something like that. Get one that's made out really carbon-rich. And there you might get very large diamonds forming with these weird metals. So they are two of my most intriguing possibilities.
And then you just need to destroy either. You can destroy a white dwarf, only as a type 1a supernova, so the white dwarf steals the material.
How to get it across?
Yeah, you need to get it. You need to get it out somehow. A planet's much easier. So with the white dwarf, you need to break it. I'm assuming also if there is a white dwarf collision, but I don't know how common they are. There is, I think, it's type 1ax supernova. I need to reread about my supernovas, but yes, you have some sort of catastrophic event with a white dwarf, and some things are turned into orbit. You can break planets more easily. When the interstellar asteroid slash comet Oumuamua and comet Borisov came through, there was an estimate if hitting a planet with an asteroid would allow you to throw material fast enough that can escape the solar system. And I think there are a possibility, but most scenario felt that it was more likely that a planet got too close and broke apart. And that happens in Supernova, that happens in White Dwarf, so evolved system, the planets get moved orbit because they're pushed by the star getting becoming a red giant, etc. And now connecting the White Dwarf with the carbon-rich planets, it might not be the case, but you need something to break them apart a little bit.
Do you think the process of a supernova itself could kind of generate them?
I am not sure in terms of how many complex minerals sit together. There are some very weird stuff going on in supernova. There are very powerful shockwaves and could be something related to the gas slamming onto other gas, and you have destroyed planets, so maybe stuff happens there. But again, you would be, well, maybe not you, maybe you listener would be surprised how little we understand of the cycle of stars. It's pretty much, you've probably seen those nice drawing of what happens to a star, how it's evolved. There is not much more detailed science than that. Okay, I'm exaggerating, but there is so much that we don't know. This is why scientists get always excited when something is happening to Betelgeuse, because we can estimate that it's a super red giant, it's going through many periodic changes in light, its size is changing, its light can change, so we know, like, okay, it's going to go supernova soon. But soon we mean 100,000 years? A million years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Next Tuesday? There is so much that we do not know, because the best star we know of is the Sun, and the Sun is a very particular type of star. It's not the best representatives of all the stars in the universe, definitely not the one that goes supernova, and it's a middle-aged star, and which is good because it's quite stable, but there's a lot we don't know. So could be, I think supernova is one of the way that carbon might form, but again, it's the fact that we have very limited amount of this wonderful, wonderful diamonds, and a lot more questions than answers.
Who knows, in several million years, perhaps, when Betelgeuse has thrown out its guts, we'll get some more carbonado diamonds landing on Earth. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be nice. Maybe we need add a few more billion years to that timeline. But maybe we'll find them on Mars, on somewhere else in the solar system, and realize that they have the same chemical composition or isotopic signature. And suddenly, like, oh, that would be super weird.
Wouldn't it be fun if they came from Bennu?
See, Bennu is a carbon-rich asteroid, so could a carbon-rich asteroid going through a catastrophic impact in space, which should give you the vacuum for your porosity, maybe that could be the way to form. Speculating here.
Yeah, there's definitely micro-diamonds found in meteorite material, especially from carbon-rich ones. But again, they are very small, generally. I don't know if you'd maybe get the big lumps that we see, certainly not with the purity we see. I think you need something to come from somewhere quite big to get only the few inclusions rather than a big, messy.
So maybe one of the planetoid that existed long before the solar system settled in this 8 plus many dwarf planets configuration.
Okay, so that's pretty much answered most of our current questions about carbonado diamonds.
As far as we can.
As far as we can at the moment, yeah. If people would like to talk to you more, either about diamonds or about space, where can they find you online?
Or about anything else. Like, maybe people are just like, okay, I had my feel of diamonds and space.
I am on both Blue Sky and X as at Planet Peg.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for telling us all about diamonds. Way more information than I ever knew about diamonds in the first place, so really pleased that this this happened.
Thank you very much, and to your listener, see you next time.